Bonjour everyone and welcome back to Castellerine, the French football podcast with the accent. The name is Jeremy Magan. I'm your host. Sorry that I missed a week. Life got in the way and I couldn't do the podcast last week, but I'm back and we are going to talk, of course, about Ligue 1. And it's been a busy week with Paris Saint-Germain getting out of the Champions League, which we'll quickly touch about, but also with this weekend where only one team was able to win at home, while a total of five teams took the 3 points away. So that made for an exciting weekend. Of course, as usual, Castellerine is brought to you by Breaking the Lines. Go and check out our website, breakingthelines.com. A really good article on Martinelli, the Arsenal forward striker winger. Right now it's on the website. It's actually a pretty good read. If you want to jump in, breakingthelines.com, always to check out the latest curated football opinions. Here on Castellini, we're going to talk about French football, of course. And this weekend in Ligue 1 was quite interesting with all those away wins with crazy scenarios as well. Both Marseille-Strasbourg and Lille-Lyon were games to remember, at least for two of the four teams. We're going to talk a bit about all this, but of course, first, music. And we're going to start straight away with south of France, Marseille against Strasbourg. It was the last game of the weekend, and it was a game that should have been important and easy for Marseille, given all the other results that we're going to talk about after. Marseille had a card to play, but it's a game that finished 2-2 with Marseille playing over an hour with only 10 men after Leonardo Balerdi was red carded at the 29th minute for a foul as the last defender. The statistic reflects that Marseille was only down to 10 men for an hour. 7 shots, 4 on target for Marseille, only 40% possession, 24 shots, 9 on target for Strasbourg, and 60% possession. The goal scorer, Chancel Mbemba, scored first for Marseille at the 49th minute. Alexis Sanchez scored on penalty, a penalty that had a bit of controversy behind it, at the 76th minute. And then Jean-Eudes Aoulou from Strasbourg scored at the 88th and the 89th minute. That 89th minute, a banger, that goal. Volley, half volley from outside the box that went right in under the crossbar of Paulo Lopez for a late equalizer. And 2-2 was the final score, leaving the Velodrome quiet at the end of the game, you know, being down to 10 men and then up 2-0 with 3 minutes left in regular time, and then ended up at 2-2 is never a good feeling for any team or any supporter, and you could feel it at the Stade Vélodrome. Funny enough, the red card from Leonardo Balerdi was the first time Marseille was getting a red card in Ligue 1, I think for about two or three years. I think it was Charles Caboret, maybe the last red card that had happened in Ligue 1 for Marseille. Or maybe Benedetto against Paris at one point. Anyway, it had been a while since Marseille had taken a red card in Ligue 1, but it happened quite early from Balerdi after that foul, that ball that went through, and that foul on Diallo. It was from Strasbourg who was going up. To be honest, even before the red card, Strasbourg was actually the most dangerous of the two teams. I don't know if Marseille came in, you know, sort of like underestimating the team from Alsace, who is performing better under their new coach, Antonetti, but they had a lot of chances early on. Paulo Lopez had to make the saves and made some very important saves in front of the lane, in front of Diallo once or twice. And then Marseille sort of like weathered the storm. And by halftime, you could tell that Strasbourg was dominating, but you could also tell that Marseille maybe had played better down to 10 men for the last 15 minutes of the first half that they had for the first half hour when it was 11 against 11 on the pitch. The halftime, whatever happens in the locker room in Marseille, happens week in, week out. Halftime happened, and then 4 minutes after that halftime, Mbemba scored. It was a free kick from Malinovsky that Sells couldn't stop, and then Mbemba was the first one at the rebound to score it to the empty net. I think half or a third of their goals, Marseille, they've scored in the first 15 minutes of the second half, and it's that team talk that Igor Tudor gives, all those changes that is made several times at the halftime, that have really always bolstered this Marseille team. Down to 10 men, up 1-0, Marseille kept pressing, kept trying to make sure that Strasbourg wasn't going to be able to get their momentum back. And Strasbourg, to be honest, in the second half, look you know, look pretty poor and weren't showing much. I think that first half hour was probably their best moment. And so Marseille kept pushing, and then a penalty was given with 15 minutes left to play, a penalty for a shirt that was pulled in the middle of the box. I mean, if you give penalty there, you're going to give about 46 or 50 penalties every weekend in Ligue 1. But it was given, maybe a way to sort of balance that red card that was given to Balerdi early on that could have been called severe as well, harsh, sorry, I should say, as well. But anyway, the penalty was given, Alexis Sanchez scored it, and from there, I think what costed the 3 points to Marseille is that Igor Tudor probably thought, you know, we're up 2-0, there's 10 minutes left to play, it's time to remove our striker and to maybe play a bit more defensive. So Eric Bailly came in instead of Alexis Sanchez. Guendouzi came in instead of Malinovsky, and Marseille stopped pressing high and stopped really coming to go and get Strasbourg in their own half, and they had just sat down and waited. Strasbourg pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And what happened if you keep pushing? Opportunities arise. Bailly once save on his line. Paulo Lopez had to make one or two saves again. And then on a corner kick, Aolu at the far post got a bit lucky. A volley that hit the ground and then bounced over Paulo Lopez. And then that superb goal a minute later that nobody could have stopped. And 2-2 was the final result. And I think, you know, it shows the importance of momentum in game, in case anybody doubts that. When team finally gets a whiff of momentum and they ride that wave, well, they're able to do whatever they can. Strasbourg were very close to even score a third goal. It also shows that Marseille is very fragile this past couple of months at home. Of course, there was the loss against Nice, against Paris. They've lost at home, obviously, in Coupe de France against Annecy, and now drawing against Strasbourg. That felt like a loss, I'm sure, for Marseille after being up 2-0, is something that is probably going to stay in their mind for a bit. That means that they're letting Paris Saint-Germain get away on the table. That means also that they're letting Lens come back closer to them after this weekend, and it's probably something that they're not going to enjoy when a team like Marseille only play once a week, and now that they're out of the Coupe de France and, of course, out of the Champions League since the beginning of the season. You would think that they would be able to be a bit more prepared when they're receiving teams from the bottom of the table, especially when they've seen all the results from the weekend. I think psychologically they need to be a bit better. That red card was a bit silly. You know, being up 2-0 and then drawing is also a bit silly. And Tudor in the post-game press conference, said, you know, that the referee had been a bit harsh with that red card and that changes the way the game was played. But at the end of the day, despite that, you're able to get up 2-0. You shouldn't let that go. Kudos to Strasbourg because, you know, and Antonetti said that in his post-game press conference, they were better than Marseille for most of the game. And even before Marseille got the red card, they were pushing Marseille and they were really winning their battle in the midfield as well, which is something rare against a team like Marseille. But good for Strasbourg because they are definitely showing a different face. The intensity is better. The physicality is better. Up front, you know, if it's another team than Strasbourg, they probably would be up 3-0 or 4-0 by halftime. So they're really creating the opportunities. They are just struggling into the last pass or into the last shot. And once they're going to get this, they really have a shot at getting out or getting away, I should say, from the relegation zone. They're out of the relegation zone now with that point gotten at the Vélodrome. But of course, there's still a few games to play, 12 to be exact. And so who knows if they're going to be able to do it. If they play the way they've played this morning, this morning in Australia, last night in France, well, they do have a chance. So there's 11 games left to play in Ligue 1, exactly. So Strasbourg has shown something that we haven't seen from them for a while and that we're starting to see a bit more under Antonetti. Usually they're good in the first half and they're struggling in the second half. That started that way. But again, that resilience and that push and those two goals in the last 3 minutes, I'm sure will do a world of good in the heads of the Strasbourg players for Marseille. I think it's back to the drawing board and an important game against Reims at Reims next week. Of course, Reims, who hasn't lost since the First World War or something like that under Will Steele. It would be an interesting game to follow. This weekend at the Vélodrome, it didn't work for Marseille and the final score was 2-2. And if you want to talk about momentum, and if you want to talk about change of momentum and goal score in the second half, well, we have to go up north for that Lille-Lyon game. You know, full transparency. I've woken up to watch that game at 7 a.m. Australian time, and I watched the first half, and the first half was boring as it gets. And so I decided to even go to work earlier because I wasn't going to sit during that second half because there was nothing going on in that first half. Well, in that second half, 6 goals were scored between Lille and Lyon. And so when I get home after work at night, I had to watch that second half. 3-3 the final score. The goal scorer, Jonathan David, with a hat-trick, 46, 61st and 79th minute. The latter two scored on penalty. And Bradley Barcola answered at the 64th minute for Lyon before Alexandre Lacazette scored at the 83rd and 89th minute to make it 3-3. Lille finished with 56% of possession. 8 shots, 6 on target, and Lyon, 6 shots, 5 on target. As I said, the game was, there's no better word, the game was boring in the first half. Not a lot was happening. Both teams were actually playing with quite a few young players, given their injuries and their trouble in their team. I mean, the defense from Lille was Timothy Weah, right back, Yoro, and Alexandro, 2 center back, and Gudmundsson on the left. None of those 4 were expected to be in the starting lineup whenever Lille has their good team. So, of course, it wasn't the best team possible for Lille. And on the side of Lyon, Lacazette was on the bench, Dembélé was on the bench. Oussem Aouar didn't play, but obviously we know what's going on with Oussem Aouar. Rudy Riou was the goalkeeper, with Anthony Lopez being injured. So both teams were coming in with, I guess, maybe not their B team, but not their A team either. And so that first half being 0-0 and a bit boring maybe would be explained by the fact that neither team wanted to offer space to their opponent. And then the second half starts, and Jonathan David scores first a great goal against Riou. And then when you see the 2 penalties, I mean, they're so unprofessional from Lyon to give penalties like this. The first penalty at the 61st minute, it's Ryan Cherki who pushes somebody in the back in the box with no reason. There was a defender right next to, I think it was David that was being pushed, if I'm not mistaken. There's a defender right next to him to try and stop him, so there's no point for Cherki pushing it. But he pushed him, and then the penalty is given, and David scores it. Luckily for Lyon, Barcola is able to score a goal in a forest of legs 3 minutes later. But then Lacazette comes in, and at the 79th minute, on a free kick from outside the box, Lacazette was in the wall, just decided to move his arm and stop the ball with his arm again. You know, this day and age, the VAR, we know how that works. This is just like a professional foul to give penalties away like this when you're at 2-1 and when you're trying to go back. David scored that penalty, of course. It was 3-1. And then Lyon sort of looked out of nowhere because, again, they just weren't playing well at the Stade Pierre Mauroy on Friday night. Well, Lyon was able to come back after the cross from Koumbédi and that header from Lacazette. And then a goal in the last minute from the Lyon striker whose score is his brace with the second goal at the 89th minute. I watched this game and I just think that it's just exactly everything that we've seen from those 2 teams all season. Lille is a team that can play well but just can't hold the score. I'm saying it every single week now. I feel they just can't hold their score. They just can't win games. There's still that inexperience in there that is really hurting them. And Lyon is a team who's just, we just don't know what's going on with Lyon. 1 week it feels like they figure it out. The week after they've forgotten everything, and it takes them 3 weeks to get back into the right mindset. And then they get a good result, and then they get 3 bad results. It's a step forward, 2 step back for Lyon this season. And right now it looks like a step forward, being able to come back from 3-1 down and doing a 3-3. But who knows what's going to happen next? I mean, great that Lacazette was able to come in and score 2. And of course, Lacazette has been a mainstay for Lyon this season, and he's having a very good season for his comeback into the city that saw him really exploded in the face of football, of European football. But you can't just count on your individualities. You can't have a player who's supposedly as talented as Cherki giving away a penalty like this. You can't have the team that starts, which is a solid team for Lyon, despite a couple of subs in the starting lineup. You can't have a team like this just giving away cheap goals and you know, having to like hope for a small miracle to come back and get points. Anyway, that's what happened on the weekend, and Lyon in my opinion, was pretty lucky to get back to 3-3. There was a late call for penalty on a foul on Jonathan Bamba that it was reviewed and he was said no penalty, but see the ref that was referring, Marseille Strasbourg would probably have given the penalty on that one. So it's interesting when it changes from referee to referee the decision. Anyway, it was exciting in a way, you know, 6 goals in a half. You don't see that often. But it's two teams that we expect so much more from in Ligue 1, and there's a reason why they are where they are at the table right now, where it's even not worth thinking about them at the European race, just because they just can't keep their point. I mean, Lille is only a point behind Red and 5 behind Monaco now. But they need to be able to keep their result. They need to be able to score when it matters. They need to stop conceding that many goals. 36 goals conceded right now for Lille. Lyon, it's only 31 conceded, but they've only scored 42, so it doesn't help as well. Anyway, two teams that they've just not been consistent enough this season to really challenge for Champions League or Europa League. And hopefully for Lille, they'll sort of try and steal that Conference League spot at the number 5 between now and the end. They're fighting for that one against Rennes. Let's go to Paris. Let's go to our first win of the weekend. I said there was 5 away wins. PSG was the first one to get it. PSG was traveling to Brest on Saturday night, and it was definitely not an easy game for Paris. Of course, Paris was reeling from their defeat midweek against Bayern Munich, losing 2-0 in Munich, and Bayern, I think, was really one or two level above Paris Saint-Germain during that game. They had a game plan, they executed it well. Mbappe was kept quiet, which it's hard to believe any team is able to do that, when we know how talented Mbappe is. But the plan that Bayern had, you know, Kimmich really shutting down Messi, and when Kimmich wasn't there, it was Goretzka and Upamecano doing some individual work on Mbappe, really worked well. Of course, for Paris Saint-Germain, it was a bit dramatic going out again in the round of 16. I think it's out of the last 8 times that Paris played the Champions League, 6 times they get out in the round of 16. And then besides that, you got the semi-final and the final during and just after the COVID season. Paris Saint-Germain, you know, can't be happy about getting out of the Champions League, especially when they were already out of the Coupe de France. Losing against Bayern Munich, you know, is that a dramatic ending? It's not, because Bayern is one of the favorites to win it. Maybe it would make them think that if had they done the job better during the groups, had they won the game against Benfica, they would have finished first of their group, and then they wouldn't have faced Bayern Munich. They would have faced instead, I think Benfica was playing against Club Brugge, so it would have been a different situation for Paris. Would that have happened? But anyway, it didn't, and PSG wasn't able once again to pass that hurdle of the round of 16. Like I said, against Bayern, it's less dramatic, but it shows again and again and again the issues with Paris Saint-Germain, with Nasser Al-Khelaifi, with the way this club is run, with the way the teams are formed, with the way the recruitment is done, with everything that we keep talking about when we talk about Paris Saint-Germain. And, you know, that win against Marseille at the Stade Vélodrome, we've seen Paris playing the way they should be playing. And against Bayern Munich, it was just a step too high as far as what you could see on the pitch. And unfortunately for them, they now can only play the championship and the Ligue 1, I should say. And they're doing well in that. And so this weekend, they were traveling to Brest to try and heal from that Bayern game. And well, they're not healed, and they were a bit unlucky, as they've been often, if we have to be honest, this year. But they won 2-1. The goal scorer Carlos Soler at the 37th minute and Kylian Mbappe at the 90th. But Franck Honora had leveled 6 minutes after Carlos Soler, at the 43rd minute, Franck Honora scored. The game finished with 61% possession for Paris, 17 shots, 8 on target, 7 shots for Brest, 2 on target. Brest, you know, what do you do when you're a team like Brest and you're receiving Paris Saint-Germain? You just defend. And so for the first half, they just really stayed into their half. Really, Eric Roy got the bus out, parked it in front of their goals, and just waited for Paris to try and come. you know that Paris Saint-Germain is never as dangerous as they are when there's space behind your defense. So if you just defend low and if you just try and remove any space, of course, it's going to be harder for them. PSG still had their opportunity, hit the crossbar, hit the post, I should say, and had an inspired Marco Bizot in front of them as well to make a few saves. And then finally was able to find a hole, the shot from Mbappé that was parried away by Bizot only as far as Carlos Soler, who then was able to find the top right corner. But the answer from Brest a few minutes later, that pass in the back of the defense, I mean, a defender like Sergio Ramos, you expect him to be able to anticipate that a little bit better. Well, he didn't. And then the comeback of Pembele wasn't enough. Honora, who actually pushed the ball and you know, conducted the ball really well, I think, to get into the box and to take the best of Donnarumma. It was an impressive attack, I think, by Honora, because when you got players like Ramos and Pembele behind you, you got to have a bit of nerve to try and keep your composure and keep the ball going the way you want it to go. Anyway, it was 1-1 at halftime, and then PSG kept pushing. It was a bit better from Paris Saint-Germain in that second half, but it looked like they could have played, I don't know, 6 games in a row, and they would not have been able to score. And of course, Brest started believing that maybe there was something to do, maybe they could create the surprise, and they started playing a little bit higher, and then you get punished. You know, again, the refereeing is talked about during that game. There's a bad reaction from Mbappé, who, after fouling Belkebla, Belkebla grabbed his leg, and Mbappé doesn't kick him, but moves like, kick him, but the most strengthless kick that you can think of, just moved his leg towards him, basically. But the foul deserved the yellow card, and then that second kick deserved the yellow card as well, so it should be a red card, I think, and a lot of pundits agree. It wasn't given, and VAR is not going to come back and say that it's straight red, because I don't think it was a straight red. I think it was 2 yellows, but that didn't happen just before that, or just after, sorry. Le Douaron, the striker from Brest, is pulled in his own box, and the referee doesn't go to VAR and doesn't whistle again for Marseille Strasbourg. That's a penalty, so the referees have to agree on which foul is a penalty, which foul isn't. And then one of the last counter-attacks for Paris Saint-Germain, the ball is recovered in their own box, passed to Messi. Messi doesn't even hesitate and launch Mbappé. We know Mbappé's speed, we know his cold blood, and he just was able to get the ball around Bizot and then to score into the empty net, given Paris Saint-Germain the 3 points, scoring the 3,000th goal for Paris Saint-Germain in their Ligue 1 history, and also after being the most prolific striker for Paris Saint-Germain in their history, he equaled Edinson Cavani in the Ligue 1 tally. So it's 138th goal in Ligue 1 for Mbappé, just like Cavani. So he is going to be the record man of Ligue 1 goal for Paris Saint-Germain between now and the end of the season as well. Paris has not healed. Paris is still reeling from that defeat against Bayern. I mean, you know, something I told my friends just after that loss against Bayern Munich is right now Paris is going to be free-flowing, and they're just going to start winning every game 5-0, 6-0, like they've done last year when they were defeated by Real Madrid, like they've done the year before. If you look every single year, Paris, once they're out of the Champions League, they're dominating the league head and shoulders, and so they should. They are the better team in Ligue 1. Well, that didn't happen this weekend. They struggled a little bit against a Brest team who defended well. Of course, they are promised to win the Ligue 1 now. They got 10 points in front of Marseille. It's a very comfortable cushion with 11 games left. I don't see Paris Saint-Germain struggling to win the rest of their games because, well, they've already, I feel, lost the games that they shouldn't have lost. And now that they're only playing once a week, they'll do whatever it takes to win and to get their stats in order, because that's what those players up front are doing for Paris Saint-Germain every year at this time of the year. And I'm sure that they'll just give Ligue 1 to Paris once again, and the other team are going to have to just fight for the Champions League. But it's not glorious. It's not great. It's another year where we have to say that Paris Saint-Germain should have done better, and they haven't. It's another year where we say that, you know, we expect so much more from the club of the capital. I mean, you have Messi, Neymar, and Mbappé. Of course, you expect to get to the semi-final of the Champions League. It should be what it is, just with Mbappé enough. That should justify that. And now you're adding a 7-time Ballon d'Or and a player like Neymar. You just expect more from a team like Paris Saint-Germain, and they just don't show up. Year in, year out. Last year, El Khalifi said it was the end of the bling-bling. That was his own words. Well, we haven't seen that. We haven't seen a team that's built properly. Galtier must be under like a crazy amount of pressure now. And how do you work? How do you prepare next season when you don't know if your coach is staying? Again, you know, they create the problem for themselves, Paris Saint-Germain, and they're doing it again this year. And it's sad to see because it repeats itself every single year and you're wondering when they're going to be able to step up, when they're going to be able to pass that hurdle and to become the club that we expect them to be with the money that they have and with what they're trying to build. Obviously, the club isn't run the right way. I think that's, if it wasn't obvious before, it should be obvious now. So hopefully they find a way to adjust and to be, again, that guide that they're supposed to be for Ligue 1, that forced to reckon with that everyone wished they were able to beat, instead of being a team that we know is playing well for half of the season, and when it comes February, March, just crumbles when they play against the strong team. It's a bit annoying to see that Paris Saint-Germain does that.
Next game up,
another win away, and so those games have obviously, as usual, as you know, those games are like 1 a.m., 3 a.m. in Australia, so I try to watch as much as possible, but some of the games I haven't seen, so we'll skim a bit faster on them. But we have to talk about Lens. Lens was able to win 4-0 in Clermont. Lens who had been struggling in recent week, unable to really score, and then it looks like the lead just went off over the weekend in Clermont, unfortunately for Clermont, who had a couple of good opportunities as well. But they lost at home 4-0 against Lens, the fastest hat-trick in the history of Ligue 1 for Loïs Openda, 30th, 34th, and 35th minute, 5 minutes, 3 goals. I mean, I'm sure everybody will be happy with that. And Alexis Claude Maurice scored the fourth goal at the 76 minutes. The game finished with 54% ball possession for Lens, 13 shots, 6 on targets. And Clermont finished with 9 shots and 6 on targets. I mean, Lens is obviously the better team as far as what those two teams can offer. But Clermont is a team that plays football well, and so it's a bit disappointed that they conceded 4 goals. Of course, 4 goals out of 6 shots on target. It shows how well Lens were playing. But also, if you watch the goals, it's mistakes from Clermont, the second and the third goal from Openda just shouldn't happen. It was a team that looked like they were knocked and that just didn't find a way to wake up early enough. And then those mistakes, defensive mistakes, they're costly. And against Loïs Openda, when he's in form, well, you don't want to do that. So I was looking at it. He scored a hat-trick in 4 minutes and 32 seconds. The last record was Matt Musilou with Lille in 2005 with a hat-trick in 4 minutes and 34 seconds. And I was looking at that because it was against Istres. Istres is the team where I'm born in south of France. So Matt Musilou scored a very fast hat-trick against Istres. I'm good at remembering sad records for my teams and the places where I have lived. He beat that record open now, which is great. Anyway, back to the game. Lens really took advantage of those mistakes. And then once you're up 3-0, what can you do when you're Clermont? We know that Lens is solid defensively and they are still solid. And now they're giving themselves a shot at coming back for that Champions League run because that win with, of course, the other results, well, they put them in the third place, only 2 points behind Marseille. So who knows what's going to happen between now and the end. But yeah, a great result for Lens, a result that hopefully for Clermont won't be too costly. They are away from the relegation zone. They're 11 points away from it, but I guess you never know. Yeah, 11 games. If you don't pick yourself back up quickly, who knows what can happen? We know that Clermont, as I said, is a team that play football, so I'm sure Gastien and his men were going to be able to see that one off and just stay in Ligue 1 for the next season. A team that is going to struggle to stay in Ligue 1 is Troyes. Troyes, who was traveling to Lorient, and Lorient won that game 2-0 with one of their recruits scoring Bamba Dieng, the former Marseille player, at the 8th minute, and Stéphane Diarra finishing the job at the 92nd minute. Lorient, who finished the game with 53% possession, which shows that Troyes played okay. 16 shots and 6 on target, and Troyes with 9 shots, 2 on target. I was talking about Lille-Lyon and the story of their season. I think that's the story of the season for Troyes. They concede a goal because the defense is a bit passive. Then they play okay, but the last pass, the last shot just isn't there. And then they get punished at the very end when they're trying to push to get a result. You know, I think Troyes is really struggling, whoever their coach is. When he was Bruno Urles, maybe they were playing a little bit better. But under Kees Norbo, maybe the intensity now is showing with Rami there, with Charles Valerien in the middle of the park, with Ripart starting again. They're just not finishing the work. And if you don't finish the job, well, how are you going to stay in Ligue 1? There was a good result last week against Monaco. Who knows where that came from? But they were not able to confirm. And now they're 3 points away from Brest, who's the first team outside of the relegation zone. And of course, they haven't won in, 10 games now that they haven't won. I think it's eight defeats and two draws in the past 10 or something like that. So it's a pretty terrible series to be in for Troyes, and they have to get out of it quickly if they want to believe that they can play in Ligue 1 again next year. For Lorient, you know, it's good to get a win again. Now they're ninth and they're only 4 points behind Rennes, so who knows? But it's still not the Lorient that we've seen at the beginning of the season. Of course, losing players like Terem Moffi who's the player who went to England? Of course, hurts. And Romain Fèvre and Bamba Dieng maybe haven't provided as much as we expected them to provide when they arrived in Brittany, but maybe they are getting in the rhythm of things now. It's a second game without a defeat. So if they can keep slowly but surely going forward, well, maybe we can find them fighting again for European spots. Nantes next. Speaking of a team that should be fighting for European spots, well, Nice should be up there, and Nice started well that game. 2-2 was the final score. Terem Moffi scored first at the 5th minute. Moussa Sissoko equalized at the 31st. And then for Nice, Youssouf Ndiaye Chimier scored at the 71st minute, an assist from Terem Moffi. But Mostafa Mohamed's header at the 88th minute put the team at level. 56% possession for Nice, 16 shots, 8 on target, 10 shots for Nantes, 3 on target. It's another, you know, another not loss for Didier Digard at the head of Nice. He's unbeaten in his first 10 Ligue 1 game with Nice. He's only the second coach able to do that for Nice. The first coach was Lucien Favre that Digard is replacing, but Favre the first time that he took over at Nice. So it's 6 wins and 4 draws for Nice. It's not that bad, and they must be happy where they are. Obviously, it's a shame that you are conceding in the last 2 minutes when you think that the game is going to be yours. It was a bit of the, you know, sort of like a bit of the same for both those teams. Nantes is a team that defends well and that tries and score in counter-attack. And you know, Nantes had the chance to win that game with that penalty from Ludovic Blas that ended up in a crossbar. Nice likes to play a bit more in counter-attack, and when they play against a team like Nantes who plays defensively, it's a bit harder for them to find space, especially for a player like Terem Moffi. But he did well, especially on that second goal, to use his body to be a great anchor player. And of course, we know the talent that he is in both those teams, so it's teams that usually give us a good game. I think that 2-2 was probably deserved, and I think it was an actually good game to watch. I think it was also a little bit of for a long time, neither of those teams really wanted to lose, so they were not pushing too hard. And then the result is a 2-2 after Nice thought that they had done it. Nantes is, you know, only 6 points away from the relegation zone, so they need to get those points. Nice, with a win, would have been only 2 points behind Rennes. Now it's still 4 points, the gap between them and the European Conference. Nice, of course, is the only team left in European competitions for France. They won against Sheriff Tiraspol away 1-0 last week, and they're going to host the team Sheriff, the famous team Sheriff that had beaten the Real Madrid last year, if I'm not mistaken. So they're going to host them at the Allianz Riviera on Thursday night, Friday morning here in Australia, to try and keep going in that European Conference League. Just like last year when Marseille was having a bit of a run in that competition. It's the competition where the last French team standing is, and it's going to help France as far as like UEFA points and trying to make sure that they keep the amount of team that they have qualified in Europe in the future. Anyway, Nice is still qualified, and hopefully they go as far as possible. This weekend, they weren't able to win against Nantes, despite twice leading, and it's something that I'm sure Didier Digard will be happy to work on. when you get the lead and when you're a team that's sort of like trying to regain their confidence and was in a good period, of course, well, you need to be able to keep those wins so that you can keep progressing on the table. A team that is having no issue progressing on the table since the change coach is Reims under Will Steele. Well, Reims was able to win at Monaco, which is no small feat. A goal scorer only won Follarin Balogun at the 51st minute, and 1-0 was the final score. Reims finished with 52% possession, 17 shots and 8 on target against 14 shots, 3 on target for Monaco, and of course 48% possession. And so Reims that wasn't there to just show their face and defend against Monaco. They knew that the best way to beat Monaco is to play a little bit higher, and they did just that. And by doing that, well, they got a win, and Will Steele now is only the second manager to remain unbeaten in 17 games in the top 5 European league in the 21st century. Only one coach did better, and that's Tito Villanova, rest in peace, the former Barcelona coach who did that in 2012-2013. So it's no small feat for Will Steele, and it's a great win against Monaco, Follarin Balogun, the Arsenal loanee, again showing how much of a great goal scorer he is. He's the youngest player to reach 16 goals in a first season in Liga since, I think, the 60s, if I'm not mistaken. 21 years old, 21, almost 22, Balogun. It's great for him. You know, he scored against Paris this year, he scored against Marseille, he scored against Lens, he scored against Rennes, now he's scoring against Monaco. So he's not afraid of the big games as well. And I'm sure Arsenal would be very happy to get him back next year. This game finished with 1-0 for Reims, and I think it's a great result for Reims, of course, but I think it's a missed opportunity for Monaco, obviously, who's not capitalizing on that great little run that they had. You know, I was saying that Monaco, when the second part of the season start, well, they start winning everything. They started this way, and then I think that loss against Leverkusen really hit them in the back of the head. And now in the last 3 games, it's 2 losses and 1 draw. And if they had 9 points instead of 1, well, they'd be ahead of Marseille right now, and they'll be trying to bother Paris Saint-Germain. So they had done the hard part, I think the hard work by beating Paris. And then after that, unfortunately for them, they started crumbling. So it makes the fight for second, third, fourth, fifth place very interesting. But I think for Monaco, it's definitely a huge wasted opportunity this season. They didn't start well, then they got a bit better, and now they are again losing points they shouldn't be losing against team that they shouldn't be losing points again. And it's not working well for them. Reims, you know, when you never lose, of course you're going to start knocking at the door of European competition. And now they're level with Nice, level with Lorient, 3 points behind Lille, 4 points behind Rennes. Who knows? Big game next week at home against Marseille, and Marseille is better away than they are at the Stade Vélodrome. So playing in Reims is probably an advantage for Marseille. And I'm sure it's going to be a game that we'll still will have to work pretty hard to prepare well. Another win away, less surprising maybe, was Toulouse winning in Angers. Angers, we could do 5 podcast episodes on Angers. They're struggling so much, and all the off the field issues. I'm sure some of you have heard or followed what happened. The coach last week giving a what would be the word? Controversial is not the word. The word is unacceptable or shameful or some sort of a weird sort of out of this age speech in the locker room, trying to sort of minimize sexual abuse. I mean, I don't even know how to say it. Anyway, something that shouldn't have happened in the locker room ever happened, and it came from the coach who's supposed to be the leader of a team. And so as a consequence, well, he was fired, and he's no more the Angers coach. I think it's a consequence, though, that was a consequence of the public backlash and not necessarily the consequence of what the club would have done, showing again all the issues happening at Angers. And on the pitch, of course, it's much the same. Bottom of the league, almost like both feet and half of their body in Ligue 2. I don't see them being able to not be relegated and now losing at home against Toulouse. Toulouse, who is not even playing that good these days, but they were able to score twice. Mikkel Dessler at the 37th minute and Tiij Dalinga at the 46th minute. They finished with 61% possession, Toulouse, 8 shots, 5 on target and 13 shots for Angers, 2 on target. There's so much going on at Angers. It's just... I feel like they just want to be done with that season and think about the next and try and sort of like rebuild from almost the ground up. 10 points in 27 games, such a low tally. They're 13 points away from saving themselves in 11 games. I mean, of course, it's almost impossible. Nothing is impossible, you'll tell me. But I think it's I think Angers have shown this year that they're just too poor to be able to hope for anything else. To lose, they look like they've finally made sure that they're going to stay in Ligue 1 and, you know, and stopping the MORG after three consecutive losses. It was good to get a win against the worst team in Ligue 1. They are at 35 points, a bit too far from Europe, but happily to be far enough from the relegation zone. So they're going to be able to see off this end of season and to come back next year with the same ambition and pretty football. A 0-0 was at Auxerre. Was it the only 0-0 of the weekend? I think it was. Yeah, Auxerre against Rennes. And of course, it's not a great result for Rennes, but it's a very good result for Auxerre. 0-0, 69% possession for Rennes. Show you who should have won. But only 7 shots, only 2 on target for Rennes. And for Auxerre, 12 shots and not 1 on target, despite some pretty good opportunities, namely by Gauthier 1. Early on, Rennes unable to make the difference. Rennes, you know, they're trying. It's the worst that I've seen them play against Genesio, actually. They're trying, but they're just not finding a solution. You know, Terrier is not there. It's only one player. But it looks like the whole team has lost their mojo. And despite Bourigeaud, despite Guiri, despite Kalimundo, Toko Ekambi, they just can't be dangerous anymore from the looks of it. They're trying everything they can. Luckily, Hamari Traoré, their captain, is slowly coming back. He got in, I think it was with half an hour left to play or something like that, over the weekend, replacing Jed Spence. And I think it's actually going to be pretty important for Rennes to get Hamari Traoré back. So he came out at the... with 15 minutes left. So it's important to get their captain back because it's going to help with their confidence. They're still there on the table, you know. They're still fifth and they're still trying to play to go up. It's just not as good as we've seen from Rennes. And we're not used to that, I guess, from Rennes. So hopefully they'll be able to give a bit of a fight. They're only 4 points behind Monaco, 7 behind Lens. So, you know, it only takes a couple of good results to sort of put your hat back into the ring and get back into that fight. Hopefully for them, they'll find it. This weekend wasn't their weekend. 0-0 against Auxerre in Auxerre. And hopefully they'll be able to bounce back, hopefully for them. And the last game of the weekend was Ajaccio against Montpellier, and Montpellier able to win away from home in Corsica, 1-0. Under their Zakaria, Montpellier wins. They don't win with a lot of goals, but they win. 12 shots, 4 on target, 53% possession for Montpellier, 7 shots, only 1 on target for Ajaccio, and some missed opportunities from Ajaccio here and there, but Montpellier, I think at the end of the day, deserved their win. They had the best opportunities. The goal came from a corner kick from Teji Savanier, of course, headed in by Elie Wahi, and it's a crucial goal because it gives Montpellier, I think, the air they needed. Since their Zakaria, I don't remember when they lost last, but right now in the last 5 games, they won 4 and they drew 1, so they just took all the air they needed to be out of the relegation zone. They have now 10 points cushion in front of Brest and Strasbourg, who are 15 and 16, and Auxerre, of course, who's 17th. So they seem that they're through, and good for them. Ajaccio, you know, I think they would have liked a win against a team that is, I guess, not the best team in Ligue 1 this season, because they could have got them out of the relegation zone. But instead, now they are 2 points behind the 3 that I've mentioned before and only a point ahead of Troyes. So they're going to be fighting until the very end to try and not do the lift, as we say in French, going Ligue 2, Ligue 1, and then straight back to Ligue 2. Hopefully they can stay in Ligue 1 Ajaccio, because it's always good to have a Corsican team. But they just need to play a little bit better, especially offensively. For Montpellier, look, I think There's a client found the recipe, found the players, found the way to make them play, find a way to motivate them, and it's working well for them, and let's see how long it lasts. That's it for the 10 games in Ligue 1 this weekend. On the table, Paris Saint-Germain, of course, is up front, 66 points. Behind them, Marseille, 56, Lens, 54, Monaco, 51, Rennes, 47, and Lille, 46. The fight will be harsh up until the very end for the European places at the bottom. We were just talking about it. Strasbourg, Brest, and Auxerre with 23 points are 15, 16, and 17. So Auxerre right now in the relegation zone. Then Ajaccio 21, 3, 20, and Angers 10 closes the table. On the goal scoring ladder, it's a fight as well. Jonathan David and Kylian Mbappé with 19 goals each, followed by Lacazette, Balogun, and Ben Yedder, 16 goals each. It's nice to see that. Lionel Messi racked up another assist on the weekend, so he's at 13 assists now, followed by Neymar, 11, and Jonathan Klaus, 8. I mentioned it, there's one game in Europe this week that concerns France. It's Nice who plays against Sheriff Tiraspol at home. And then this weekend, a few cracking games, namely a Paris Saint-Germain-Rennes played on Sunday afternoon. And an interesting four, I guess, all the bad reasons. Trois, Brest, Montpellier, Clermont, Strasbourg, Auxerre. Six teams that are more at the bottom. Montpellier, Clermont, of course, they seem kind of safe. But whoever loses, I think, is going to feel the heat behind them coming up, especially with those teams facing each other, Troyes and Brest and Strasbourg and Auxerre. The other games this weekend, Lyon against Nantes, Toulouse against Lille, that'd be a good game. Lens against Angers, Ajaccio against Monaco, Nice against Lorient, that'd be another good game for the top of the table. And of course, Reims against Marseille will be finishing the weekend, the 20th of March, and Reims, who's undefeated since they had faced Monaco the first time around back in September. Well, they'll try and keep that against the second of the table. Casser les lignes, that's it. It's over for today. Thank you again for listening. Please share, subscribe, ask any questions that you have on Twitter or anywhere that you can see Breaking the Lines. Jérémy Magan, the host here as usual, and I'm looking forward to next week to talk to you again about Ligue 1. Ciao, ciao.